A while ago, I had a conversation with my dad about something. It was about Star Trek, and we were talking about, the latest Star Trek shows. And at one point, I brought up the fact that a lot of people hated Star Trek Discovery, or how they were upset about Strange New Worlds and all the changes they made to Spock. My father, who has watched Star Trek for as long as he can recall, only had one thing to say. People have too much time on their hands. It came to my mind recently when I was in the middle of looking at comments on TikTok because I recently talked about a film that came out. One I will get to in a minute, but before we do that, hi, I'm Joel Garcia, and welcome back to the Pop Culture Shuffle. On today's show, we definitely have a lot to talk about. First up, I'll just recap what I've been doing these past 10 months. Then, I get into the wonderful world of Isekai, and why I don't like it. And finally, we take a look at some fan fiction from the magical world of Bonanza. Trust me, it makes more sense in context. But first, where the hell have I been? Probably the best way to explain what I've been doing these past 10 months is that I basically finished my education at San Diego City College, and since then I've been looking for work. There are other factors, of course, as to why I stopped making podcasts, but at the same time, I technically never did. There just came a time in which, first of all, I lost access to Adobe, since, of course, I no longer took the class that required the software, and I did make some recordings, and in fact, the fanfic that's going to be highlighted later on this episode is from that time, but other than that, I just stopped because I kept focusing so much on my assignments. In fact, I took this class that was just all about the Beatles. I grew up listening to the Beatles with my dad. He would regularly play us the Beatles, and he had this one CD that was just an anthology of demos and samples. Specifically, the Beatles anthology, one that I wound up liking so much, I bought the first two. And eventually, I grew to really enjoy listening to the Beatles and... well, let's just say I've listened to their entire discography from beginning to end, now and then. See what I did there? Of course, I did miss a lot of major things that happened the past 10 months. I wound up missing Barbie and Oppenheimer, and sure, I could have done something there, but, well, let's face it, everyone else did. I also wound up not doing my show throughout both the writers and actors' strike. When it came to the writer's strike, all late nights shut down, immediately. When it came to the actor's strike, a lot of people stopped doing promotional stuff, so you couldn't promote something except for maybe Barbie and Oppenheimer, but even then, you notice how a lot of people online just didn't promote those films. They said, oh yeah, I saw it, and then moved on. Or, whenever there was a major guest star appearance on a TV show, the actor would say, oh thank you, but I can't talk about it. I was very open to the idea of coming back on my show and not talking about film or TV shows. I had an entire article ready and written to talk about the CW. And if you're wondering how I can make an entire episode about the CW, well, let's just say a lot of things have happened and it's no longer the Superhero and Riverdale channel anymore. Recently, I managed to reacquire Adobe's Creative Cloud, so now I have access to use Audition again. And I've tried using other services like Audacity, but look, I just hate Audacity. It has some basic editing, but like, if you wanna like, cut this segment out, no, you can. And it just became a nightmare to work with. And like, I only wound up doing one single podcast with Audacity, which was the aforementioned NASCAR podcast, which is relatively simple, but you couldn't do an entire episode on Audacity. Maybe it's because I don't know how to use Audacity. Or maybe it's because throughout my time at City College, I was taught to use Adobe Audition, never Audacity. Moving on. You might be wondering, what was the film that got a lot of people upset with me over on TikTok? Well, If you didn't hear about it, Studio Ghibli, the company has made a lot of memorable anime films such as My Neighbor Totoro, Spirited Away, and etc., came out with their latest film, The Boy and the Heron, also known as How Do You Live? Now, this is a film that I was very excited to go see, since for the longest time, I've never had the chance to go see a Studio Ghibli film in theaters. It was always, oh, the DVD, oh, the Blu-ray, and in some rare cases, oh, Netflix or Max, because some films were on Netflix for a moment, and now they're on Max, which, by the way, renaming HBO Max to Max? Dumb. But going back to this, I was very eager to see this film, because it was literally the first time I had a chance to go see a Studio Ghibli film in theaters, and, well, I honestly didn't care to see any of the re-releases. So this was, like, probably the first, and probably the only time I get to see this in theaters opening weekend. So with all that said, I went to see it in theaters Friday afternoon, and this is what I posted on TikTok, and thankfully, I didn't put any music over it, and, well, it's just me talking to the camera, so here's the audio from that TikTok. Well, I just got out of AMC here and saw Studio Ghibli's latest, and probably last film, The Boy and the Heron, aka How Do You Live, and I hated it. It was terrible. Like, the animation is still great, and there are a lot of moments where I did love the fluidity, but the story makes no sense. It felt like it was ripping off a bunch of other films I've seen, like Soul, Coco, and maybe some of Ghibli's other work, but it just didn't make any sense, and if there was something to be made of, like, well, I don't know what it was about. Like, it reminded me a lot of The Wind Rises, where just a bunch of stuff happened. Howl's Moving Castle was better than this film, and I hated that one, too. If this is the way that Studio Ghibli goes out, then, well, it was disappointing. But then again, no way, I just can't say much else. Wish was a better film than this film, and that's saying a lot. Just wait till it comes out on Max or Netflix. So as you can tell, I didn't like the film, and it's sadly yet another film from Studio Ghibli that I really did not enjoy. And then TikTok got really upset with me. In general, there were some comments that agree with my thoughts on the film, or were trying to point out that my complaints about the film were flawed, by saying, oh, it was a dream, there was a hidden message to it. Those were the type of comments that I consider constructive criticism. However, there were also comments that were very negative towards my thoughts on the film, what I thought about Howl's Moving Castle, and in general, just who I am. To make a long story short, I had to enable comment moderation for TikTok, so now if anyone wants to comment on my videos on TikTok, they'll get their comments in, but then I have to moderate and see if I want to put it on my videos. It's something that a lot of companies do, a lot of users do on TikTok, YouTube, and elsewhere, and in the end, I had to put it on TikTok so at the very least see who's sending what, and if it has something to do with what we're talking about. Because I want the comments to be relevant to the topic. I don't want it to suddenly deviate into something like, oh, your opinion is invalid because you like the marbles. Finally, I wanted to bring up something else. I have been told that most of my reviews, both on TikTok and elsewhere, have been very negative. Admittedly, I have been seeing a lot of films in which I've been either disappointed by or I didn't like that much. But there were films that I have seen that I really liked. Oppenheimer, despite some flaws, was pretty good. Blue Beetle was fantastic. And like I just said, I liked the marbles. I don't intentionally go see a movie just to hate it. At no point have I ever gone to a theater and said, I'm gonna watch this movie and hate it. That just seems very counterintuitive, because why would I waste $30 to go see a bad film? Hopefully in the future, I'll be able to see a film in theaters and not be disappointed by it. I have somewhat high hopes for Aquaman because I liked the first Aquaman and I'm hoping the sequel will be just as good. As for me, I'll keep doing my podcast as per usual. Today, I want to highlight yet another type of anime that I personally cannot stand. Isekai. For those unaware, isekai in general focuses on a certain type of story where a character is abruptly tossed into a strange and mysterious world. Sometimes it could focus on said person adjusting to living in this whole new world, while other times add the possibility of the character trying to find their way back home. That is a very generalized take on the concept. Certain takes on the genre have the protagonist die in her former world and reincarnate as either a new person or an inanimate object. Now, some of you might bring up isekai is not just limited to anime and manga. That can also include Western anime series such as Amphibia and The Owl House. They might be, to an extent, but the only major similarity would be how their respective protagonists wind up in a different place and explore everything about it. That's not the problem I have with the genre. It will be everything else. Whenever I've seen a show in which a character dies and gets reincarnated elsewhere, said character happily accepts their new situation and never feels any type of remorse or longing for their old world. They do justify the lack of such emotion by showing us how much the protagonist's old life sucked. The most common scenario is of them having a dead-end job with no future, only to then get run over by a truck or train. That potentially gruesome visual is thankfully omitted, and it simply shows the person be reborn in their new world, followed occasionally by a time skip. In certain cases, the protagonist is well aware of their past life, using it as a form of experience to help them out of a scenario in this new world. I personally think it's weird how they don't tend to bring up how they miss someone or something. For example, since most isekai shows are set in fantasy-based worlds, I'm surprised there's not been a protagonist who complained about the lack of cheeseburgers, toilets, or smartphones. There is another issue that really prevents me from enjoying such shows. It's one I previously brought up beforehand, but before I point it out, let me note that the majority of isekai series feature male protagonists. There are some with female protagonists, but the market is dominated by male characters in the lead role. If you've not gotten to what I'm trying to point out, it would be harems. I've talked about the particular genre's flaws in a previous episode, but all I will say is the same issue extends to isekai series. In certain stories, especially the fantasy-based ones, the protagonist tends to be male and surrounded by female characters who either are attracted to him or enjoy his company a bit too much. This also leads to my biggest gripe with isekai, the fan service. Have you ever watched or read something where it felt like the writer and or artist wanted to highlight naked women? Because that's what it feels like when watching certain isekai. I'm not gonna name names, but this type of humor really brings whatever plot there is to a complete halt. It just needs to make a joke about a character's skimpy attire, or just being naked, with the visual convenience of having their naughty bits hidden by something silly as opposed to a bad comedy. It would be fun if the gags applied to everyone equally, but they only seem to apply to the female characters. At this point, I just want to say I am in no way a prude. There is absolutely nothing wrong with fan service. I am not saying it should be banned forever or anything like that. It could just run the risk of overshadowing everything else about a show. There is such a thing as overkill. In the same way, there can be too many productions set within a certain superhero universe, or a certain Disney film with too many references, there can simply be too much fan service in a production that makes you ask a pretty dumb but blatant question. If they just wanted to show off naked women, why didn't they just do that in the first place? Finally, to a lesser extent, there is the issue of isekai productions regularly having absurdly long titles. Let me explain. A good title can quickly sum up what a show or a film is about, like Lost, Law & Order, or Stranger Things. Then there are those with titles that are basically fragmented sentences. Here's a brief list of actual titles considered to be isekai. Reborn as a bending machine, I now wander the dungeon. Log Horizon. High school prodigies have it easy even in another
world.
No game, no life. This is screwed up, but I was reincarnated as a girl in another world. Konosuba. Problem children are coming from another world, aren't
they? Spirited away.
Life for an ordinary guy who reincarnated into a total fantasy knockout. Magic Knight Ray Earth. Trapped in a dating sim. The world of Otome Games is tough for mobs.
Gate.
Cautious hero. The hero is overpowered but overly cautious. March Awakens Romance. And last but not least, as a reincarnated aristocrat, I'll use my appraisal skills to rise in the world. Within that list of 15 titles, there were a few short and simple ones. Then you had those where it felt like the writer was stumped and named her story after the pitch sentence. It reeks of laziness, since they can come up with a fantastical world of characters and lore, yet not a good concise way to sum all that up in a few words. It can also come across like a desperate attempt to be relevant by having the most clickbait title possible if someone were to Google certain keywords. You might have noticed how ordinary and world kept popping up. To make my point even clearer, it'll be like if The Big Bang Theory was called I Live Next to Nerds, or Star Trek was instead called We're in Outer Space! I understand that there are fans of this genre. It's escapism entertainment, in the same vein as superhero films or romantic comedies. It can also be acknowledged that the isekai genre goes beyond my summarization. Some might bring up Inuyasha as an example. Even though that show has things not prevalent within the genre, such as having an decent, albeit slow, narrative with a proper ending. To wrap this up, isekai is just part of that list of genres where I just don't care about them, right alongside harems and giant robots. There are some positives, but the negatives really prevent me from enjoying it. There are many more genres I could bring up, such as stories involving pirates, or country music, but I'll save those topics for another day. If there's something I do my best to make an effort of, is normally pick fanfics that are wildly different from one another. And for the most part, I don't want to do something in which say, oh, we're doing the same thing over and over again. Which is why, for example, I've avoided talking about, say, Sailor Moon or The Loud House, and especially in some cases, Harry Potter. But sometimes, there are a lot of Harry Potter stories, and well, this is one of them. It's not intentional, of course, it's just that a lot of people write Harry Potter fanfiction, some of which is bad, but some of which is admittedly better than the original story. This is not one of those stories. This is a very peculiar story that I found while looking up other topics and realizing maybe we can find something unusual, something weird. And I have tried with other shows and mostly to see if there's any type of, connection between these two shows. A while ago, I actually almost read a story about Harry Potter and the Golden Girls, yes, as in the Betty White sitcom, but it was going nowhere, and for the most part, I felt that if I were to read it, I'd just have to slap on a laugh track, which I don't normally slap on a laugh track unless I'm being sarcastic. Then I found another story which is just really weird. It's a crossover between Harry Potter, the late 90s, early 2000s franchise about a boy wizard, and a western from the 1950s, 60s, and early 70s. And no, it's not Gunsmoke. If you're thinking, longest run of mine? No, it's not Gunsmoke. It's Bonanza. If you've never heard of Bonanza, that makes sense. It's hard to find, and for the most part, it took me a while to even find Bonanza online. It's one of those shows that, despite the fact that it apparently ran for 14 seasons and 432 episodes, It's really hard to find online, other than some weirdly public domain episodes. Now, I assume everyone knows what Harry Potter is, so there's not much to say about that. But when it comes to Bonanza, it's a story about the Cartwright family, who live in the Wild Wild West. In general, the show is about the Cartwright family, who are, well, ranchers living in Nevada. And as far as I can tell from a quick Google search, the story is set during and after the Civil War, in which Ben and his sons, will have different mothers, live and operate out of their 1,000-acre spread known as the Ponderosa near Virginia City. Now there's a lot to talk about this show, especially because the show constantly kept changing characters throughout its run, which again, 14 seasons! But for the sake of the story we're going to read, I'm only going to focus on the three main characters who also appear in the story, in addition to the patriarch Ben Cartwright. There's also Adam Cartwright, Ben's oldest son, then there's Hoss Cartwright, and last but not least, Joseph Little Joe Cartwright. Now I will admit, I've never seen this show. I only know about it because my dad grew up enjoying the show, to the point where whenever I get a phone call from him, his ringtone is the Bonanza theme song, which itself is very noticeable and famous. And, like a lot of other things, I first heard the theme song through The Simpsons making a parody of it. Now I skimmed an episode of Bonanza, because as I said, some episodes are in the public domain, so they are relatively easy to find, if not a bit degraded due to quality, and, well, it's a western. And I will say this, I'm not exactly the biggest expert on westerns, and in fact, the only westerns I enjoy have been comedies. And Back to the Future Part 3, which is really hard to say is a western because it has a DeLorean in it. Now at this point, you might be wondering, how the hell do you make a story involving Harry Potter and Bonanza? At least when I saw this story about Inspector Gadget and Lupin III, it kind of made sense, especially if you knew the backstory. But with this is like making a crossover between Stranger Things and The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. Now, the story is called Harry James Cartwright by Snary 2013. And the synopsis reads, what if Lily saw what was going to happen to her newborn son in the future, and decided to reach out to her great-grandfather, Ben Cartwright, in the past to help raise the boy with his three sons. So yeah, right off the top, the synopsis pretty much tells you the story immediately. I was actually going to read chapter 1, but the crossover element doesn't happen until the end of the chapter, where by that point in time, I was just waiting for it to happen. And just to quickly explain what happened in that chapter, Lily gives birth to Harry, but after a while, thinking, oh, something bad's going to happen to my baby Harry, she decides to simply write a letter to Ben Cartwright that somehow sends Harry back in time, and Harry's in the world of Bonanza now, and being raised by the Cartwright family. Now that you know how the story was set up, here is chapter 2 of Harry James Cartwright. It was from then on that life in the Ponderosa Ranch changed. By the time he was almost 10 years old, Harry grew up knowing all about the ways of the ranch. He loved horseback riding through the country with his father and brothers, and he especially loved fishing and hiking in the mountains. And he was pretty much friends with everyone in Virginia City. He was so charming and kind that no adult could be cold towards him. When everyone asked how the boy came to be, Ben was the one that explained that he met a woman named Lily on one of his many business trips, and they met at a saloon and had too much to drink, and well, about 9 months later, Harry was born. The mother died in childbirth, but only having Ben promising he would raise his son to be a noble and kind man. But normally something like this was frowned upon. They couldn't fault the child for the mistakes of their parents, and so they just accepted Harry. That's what the Cartwright proved. And since Ben claimed to acknowledge Harry as his son, there was no more questions or gossips about little Harry's origins. In general, everyone liked the shy, kind boy, who offered to help without expecting to get paid or given treats. He was very bright and mature for his age, and he was such a gentleman to everyone of any age or status, and he rarely fought with anyone. In fact, he disliked violence of any kind and tried to avoid as much as possible. But his dislike always made him a target for bullies at his school. And often Harry was at the receiving end of a punch or shove into a mud puddle. He would try to hide as best he could, but when you live with three protective older brothers and a father who was known to get into the occasional fistfight, he couldn't hide it for very long. You have to learn to stand up for yourself, little brother. Hoss sighed as he gently helped put some ice on the black eye.
Fighting never shops anything, Harris stated stubbornly as he held the bag.
Both Adam and Little Joe scoffed at that, only to stop by a glare from Ben, who was sitting beside the youngest Cartwright.
Well, you're right, son. You have to defend yourself, or you can get seriously hurt, Ben cites.
But if I do, I might accidentally discontrol my magic, and I don't want to hurt them or get hung, Harris said, his expression fearful.
Little Joe came over and gently runs his hand through the messy black hair and gave the boy a reassuring smile before saying, We trusted you had pretty good control of it. I mean, we haven't had an outburst since you were 5 years old. The most I ever seen it be used was when you are helping with the animals.
Harry nodded sheepish at being caught, but he saw that not any of the men were upset with him about it.
Hey, yeah, you sure saved my hide a time or two with that little trick of yours, Hall said happily.
Button smiles and said, See now, while I normally don't encourage fighting, I do believe that if these bullies whip with you again, I want you to defend yourself the best way you can. Am I understood?
Harry nods.
Yes, sir.
Before blushing when his stomach let out a loud growl, which had all of them laughing, before going to get clean for dinner.
The next morning found Harry walking the rest of the way to school, since Adam offered to ride him halfway on his way to another ranch on the other side of the city. He was whistling humming to himself and smiles when he see the schoolhouse in the distance, but soon that smile turned into a frown when he finds himself surrounded by four rather large kids from the 6th grade group. The ringleader of the group was the larger of the bunch, Samuel Bailey. He had it out for Harry ever since he started school, always teasing and picking on him and spreading nasty rumors around to the rest of their classmates, which was why Harry didn't have many friends.
Well, look what we have here, guys. The prince had decided to come out from his tower. What are you doing, little prince, walking among us lowly commoners? What happened? Your daddy punished you by not letting you ride your noble steed to our lowly school? Samuel snares.
But we all rode our horses here,
said of the kids, which had Samuel glaring at him angrily, and he hissed,
Shut up! Now, hey, where'd he go?
He shouts when he turns to find his prey gone, only to see said target standing at the front of the school, smirking at them, waving at them mockingly, before walking the building with the rest of his classmates. By the time the bell rang to signal school was starting, the group of bullies got scolded by the teacher, much to everyone else's amusement, while Harry was busy getting ready for lessons, unaware of the seething volcano that was Samuel Bailey. As the time for lunch and recess came was when it happened. Harry was enjoying his lunch and a good book, and all of a sudden a bucket of muddy water was dumped on him, causing him to gasp and sputter a bit as he tried to wipe his eyes. Before he could do that, he was grabbed from behind by two people and soon had his arms pinned down. Now he was blind by mud, pinned and frightened, but soon that fear was replaced with pain as he was punched repeatedly in both his stomach and chest. He was dropped to the ground dead and quickly curled up to protect his stomach and head from further damage as the kicks and punches hit his back. As the pain became so unbearable, something in him snapped, and soon the punches and kicks stopped. After a bit, he carefully wipes his eyes and opens to see his bullies all surround him, but they were unable to kick or hit him anymore, which was causing Sammy to get more and more frustrated. But when Harry slowly got up, his eyes flashed with fear as he ran along with the rest of his gang, much to Harry's relief as he leaned against a tree for support, as the pain of his ribs and stomachs made themselves known once more as he struggled to walk, gritting his teeth, as he made it to the tree line and saw the school, and much to his relief, he saw a familiar figure of his father.
Paul!
Harry shouted as loud as he could before he lost his footing and fell face down in the dirt,
as the pain from the fall knocked him unconscious. The last he heard was his name, Harry, before everything went black.
If that last part sounded a bit long-winded, that's because the writer has this weird issue when it comes to writing sentences, where on fanfiction.net, for some reason, each sentence is a paragraph on its own. But in the case of the penultimate section, it just has its entire wall of text, which has no periods up until the very end. So there are 7 lines of text, which have this whole sentence explaining about Harry getting bullied, attacking people with magic, but it all just split up by commas. And you could probably tell I was struggling at certain points because I was reading this out as a whole sentence. Other than that, this story starts off relatively well. It has a bizarre premise. It places Harry in Bonanza, and so far it's pretty good. But then you have these issues which really do ruin the story for me. For starters, and if you didn't notice, for some reason, Harry could do magic without a wand. And I know that in the movies he did something similar when, say, he could talk to snakes, but that's not the same thing. Him talking to snakes is one thing, but him doing magic without a wand is another. It's well established in the Harry Potter mythos that anyone who uses magic uses a wand. Yet for some weird reason, these fanfic writers really like pretending magic is like the Force, in which, they just do with their minds and hands and that's it. Even though that's not how it works, and it honestly feels like they can't imagine someone using magic in a cool manner with a stick. On a lesser note, there's also the issue with some of these writers who for some reason also don't like bringing up Harry's eyesight. They pretend the glasses aren't there, he was born without any eyesight issues, or simply find a way to explain, he's so magical he fixed his own eyesight. Which makes as much sense as a plastic surgeon doing surgery on himself. But going back to this story, it's disappointing. It starts off well, but then it just falls apart. The next few chapters just focus on Harry's recuperation, the bullies being captured, and then Harry is called a witch, even though that's not how the term should be used.
Quick side note, witch refers to a woman who does witchcraft. The male equivalent would be warlock, wizard, or sorcerer.
And ultimately, Harry is sent to the American equivalent of Hogwarts, Ilvermorny. And the story just becomes, Harry goes to wizarding school. And that's it. Oh sure, the Cartwrights are still there, but like, that's it. That's the whole rest of the story. And sure, there are some additional connections, such as how, turns out the bully had a magical relative, but it's not what I wanted to read. I was expecting some fun, cowboy antics with Harry Potter. Nope, you're just getting Harry Potter in America in the 1800s. And literally nothing else. There isn't even any type of callback or reference to other characters from the Harry Potter universe, so we don't see a great-great descendant of the Weasleys, the Grangers, or even Dumbledore. And even then, the Bonanza characters barely do anything. There's nothing special about this story. You could swap out the characters, and even the setting, and barely anything would change about the story. I just want to point this out. I really wanted to like this story. The idea of someone writing a crossover between a franchise that was popular in the late 90s and 2000s with a TV show that ran in the 50s, 60s, and 70s sounded crazy, and the results were lackluster. And that's pretty much it. Harry James Cartwright by Snary 2013 is available to read on fanfiction.net. And on that note, that is all the time we have for today's show. If you would like to know when the next episode comes out, remember to follow or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite stream provider. You can also follow me on Instagram, Threads, Twitter/X, at MrJoelGarcia9, and at MrJoelGarcia on TikTok. Until next time, thank you for listening.